Can't believe it, but right now there are 3 Chrises in the church. Long Ho Yang. Pastor Mark, of course. I remember I used to speak for the Chinese service with an interpreter, of course. And when Pastor Chris was my interpreter, unlike other interpreters, sometimes when you go on missions, you need an interpreter. Not efficient interpreter, not becoming your interrupter. But Pastor Chris is one of the best. But I used to warn the Chinese congregation, you put 2 Chris together on stage, you have a crisis. But today, it is my honor to be here, knowing that God has only good things in store for every one of us. We serve a good God, but a God that is so good, He never will just want us to keep the gospel. The gospel means the good news. And in this world whereby you turn to every corner, all you see sometimes is negativity. Wherever you go, you find things that are so minimal when it comes to positivity and encouragement. That's why the good news of Jesus is still available for everyone in the world. That's why we have been given, you and I, the honor to take this good news into all the world. Can someone say amen? Amen. Can we pray together, shall we? Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will continue to move in our midst. Let the word that is being shed today, let it land on fertile soil. I thank you, Lord, for your incredible presence, for the anointed worship team. Lord, we sense your presence by the time we step into this whole compound, and especially right here in your presence. I thank you, Lord, where there are hungry people who loves your word, who loves the power of God, and who honors the presence of God. Lord, you will do something that is exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Lord, I pray that today as I share your word, let it land on good, fertile soil and let it bear much fruit. I thank you for this beautiful day. In Jesus' name I pray, and all the good-looking people say? Amen. All right, that's quite a loud amen. That's good. Today is your missions weekend, and I want to talk about His last command, our first priority. His last command, our first priority. Let's take a look into the scripture, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. This is the last command that Jesus gave to his disciples. And he says this, then Jesus came to them and said, think about it for a while. The disciples have no idea what it means to move forward with the gospel. Yes, they have heard the gospel. Yes, they have seen miracles. Yes, they have experienced Jesus for nearly 3 years. And yes, they are aware that Jesus will return back to heaven. Yes, they were told that they will receive the Holy Spirit, but they have no idea what it means to go forward. So Jesus came to them. For every one of us who are here, I believe that many of you, in fact, all of you, have come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If given a microphone today, every one of you can have your own story of your journey of faith, of how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. As for myself, 50 years ago, January the 19th, 1974, Pastor Chris, same age with you, 75, older than you. That was the year, the date and the month when I gave my heart to Jesus as a 14-year-old boy. Never believed, as I look back 50 years of following Jesus, I was the first believer in my family. And the truth is this, unlike some of you who came to church because you really loved the Lord, I was invited to a youth group and I was only interested there because my friend told me there'll be a lot of beautiful girls and a lot of free food. And that's why I went. As a 14-year-old boy, I'm not interested in anything. But a good thing is this, thank God there were beautiful girls in church. Look at all you ladies today, come on. And all the men say? All the single men say? And of course, there's free food. 2 weeks later, would you believe it? I gave my heart to Jesus, lifted up my hands, and I thought that was it. I mean, you get your sins forgiven, you have joy, and you are happy, and what else is there to do? Without realizing that God has given me a responsibility of not just becoming a believer of Jesus, but to become a follower of Him. Not only that, but Jesus has also called me to be a fisher of men. And that has been a 50-year journey. I went into full-time ministry in 1981, and I thought that would be my greatest challenge, because I remember when I went to the ministry, my father had passed away by then. But my elder brother, who was looking after the family, when I told him, I said, "Ko, I'm going to go into full-time ministry and be a pastor." My brother was a non-believer. He was a man of the world, a businessman, wealthy businessman. He looked at me, and these are the exact words. I'm still reminded of it. No, I'm not traumatized by it because I've been set free. But I still remember, he looked at me and said, "What nonsense are you doing with your life? I thought you are just a Christian and go to church. It's a phase of life. You will grow out of it. And now you are 20 years old and you want to be, what, a pastor?" Pastor Danny, you know what my brother told me? "You know what pastors are?" I'm not talking to you, sorry. "You know what pastors are? You will be beggars forever." You know, typical response of a Singaporean, "Walao eh." How to answer him back, because he was so angry. And he went on a tirade and said, "You are a disgrace to the Long family. I'm ashamed of you. Among us, you are the only one." You got to understand, right? My family is totally dysfunctional. My father had 3 wives. Please don't say hallelujah. 3 wives. Mother was wife number 3. Godless family. Totally godless. My whole family was only interested in money, that's all. Mom had 6 children. Because of that, 9 of my half-brothers and half-sisters absolutely hated the younger ones. Because of us, father had to divide more property to all of us. So we really felt unloved and insulted when we were growing up. And I used to joke, not really a joke, but I was number 14 in the family. Can't even make the football team 11. So I was number 14 by right. I should just be an ordinary, broken, dysfunctional young man, which I was. When I accepted Christ, it was only the beginning until I decide to find purpose for my life. Now, I'm not saying that every one of you should go into full-time ministry, but I'm suggesting to you, every one of you should go on a mission trip at least once. Let that be your bucket list, to ensure that you go on a mission trip so that you can fulfill His last commandment, which is your first priority. Okay, I can tell you my whole long story. By the way, my surname is Long. So you may get a long preaching today, but on the other hand, my surname Long is actually Dragon Long. That's my name. So actually, let me put that aside. But my family, just let you know how God has been faithful. How many of you all believe that God honors those who honors Him? Can someone say amen? Amen? Whatever you have sacrificed for the Lord, whatever you have given to the Lord, it counts back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For me, what my brother said about me nearly became true when he said that I'm a beggar. Earliest time, because I was part of this charismatic movement. Those days, bolui me o chenon. Everything is by faith. I remember in Bible school, our favorite saying is that, "Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. What you feed me, I will swallow." I remember those days, early days. I remember getting 100 ringgit a month for like the first 5 years. I don't know how. There have been times by the first time I get my allowance, I make sure I pump petrol into my car. Into my motorbike. I mean, there were one time, remember in Bible school, all of us ran out of money. It was about the 20th of the month, waiting for 25th of the month. All of us ran out of money, and about 6-7 of us on a Monday don't know what to do. So we were looking at all our motorbikes, and none of our motorbikes got petrol already. We were that poor, right? And then one of them, right, you always find one guy full of the Spirit, full of anointing. And he came up, without mentioning his name, we mentioned his name, you may know him. He said, "You know what, Chris? I believe that if Jesus can turn water into wine." You all got a story ahead of me. But at the time we were a bit blur, right? Yeah? Then he took out a bottle of water. "We believe that Jesus can turn this water into petrol." And all of us, "Hallelujah, yes, amen." You know Pentecost, "Oh yes, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah." And then he said, "Come, who will try first?" He said, "You try first." "You try first, brother, we support you, you try first." And so when when you are desperate sometimes, you get very spiritual. Really, he says, "Okay, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus." You open the cabinet. "In Jesus' name, turn the water into petrol. In Jesus' name, amen." Listen, when you pray, whether it's "in Jesus' name" or "in Jesus' name," it's still the same prayer. Amen. And then Pastor Chris, we were praying that it will come to pass. That means next time we don't have to put petrol anymore. And then he was, "In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name," we were praying, "Yes, yes, in Jesus' name." Boom! Started. We all give a loud Pentecostal shout of praise. "Oh, hallelujah!" Then, not even 20 meters, boom! Black smoke came up from the car. From the motorbike. All of us ran away. That was the end of our ministry of turning water into petrol. That's the end. The story, there's no landing. That's just a story. That's all. But the truth is this, right? Looking back, one of the greatest miracles was just this year in February, Chinese New Year reunion. It was my wife and I, our turn to host our family. 48 people from the long generation came. 48 people. As they were gathered together at a restaurant, because it was too many of them to be in the home. The most amazing thing, my dear friends, as I was looking at every one of them have come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Somebody give Jesus Christ. No one worship idol in the home anymore. And just 50 years ago, I was the first one as a 14-year-old boy who never believed that one decision that I made for Jesus and then decide to move forward by obeying the command of the Lord, I'm seeing my whole family safe. Before we do your Singapore's a different name one. I'm from Malaysia, Lo Hei, Lo Sang. The Lord spoke to me, "Since you are hosting, serve Holy Communion to everyone." Have you ever served Holy Communion in your family reunion? I've never heard of it. I never thought of it. But since I'm hosting, and I can serve, I'm a pastor, but just to make sure that nobody get offended, because a couple of them are not really walking with God. But why should we allow the minority to control what the majority believes? And the amazing thing is this, I call up my two sister-in-law and my sister. They are the matrix of the family, and they all also walk with the Lord. I say that, "Can we serve Holy Communion?" Every one of them, go ahead, serve communion. And I say, "Can you help me to serve?" And sure enough, on that day, I made the announcement, "You're going to serve Holy Communion. I'm going to call all the elders, come and serve." So all my elder sister-in-law, elder sister came, and they go and gift everybody to serve. And their face is so fierce that communion take. Especially the one that is not walking with the Lord. Take. And the beautiful thing, my wife told me this, right? There's one of them, they're from Australia, but they're working in Brunei and very well off, right? My nephew in his late 30s. He's the only one that never really serious with God. And maybe his last communion was maybe 20, 30 years ago. And he was looking at the communion, right? He don't even know what to do with it, no. And then my 9-year-old grandniece, whose father was part of Kingdom City in KL as a worship pastor, now he's in Singapore. That 9-year-old grandniece was teaching his 39-year-old cousin what is communion. My wife says she overheard her telling, cannot simply eat one. This is Jesus' body and Jesus' blood. Open the first plastic, take the wafer, don't simply eat first. Wait until uncle give the announcement, then you eat. Then this one you tear open. You cannot dip inside, huh? Cannot dip inside. And that 9-year-old girl, my grandniece, was teaching the 39-year-old cousin what is communion all about. After we prayed, we sang, how great is our God. I tell you this, that for me was the greatest and the best Chinese New Year ever. Reunion family. Sometimes it is small decisions, small obedience. Sometimes it's just a step forward. Today, I want to ask you, what will be your next step after this message? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The key word here, when I think about missions and why do we dare to do what we do? Now, I know Pastor Chris for a long time, and I know he loves Mongolia. Pastor Chris, he loves Mongolia. And I was told by the other Chris also, he has stayed sometime in India before. Again, Pastor Daniel, I'm not sure what is your heart, but I'm sure you have a great heart for missions. Pastor Mark, the same thing. For Chris Long, interesting enough, the last couple of months, actually, I've been asked to focus on Indonesia. We started 4 new cities. And most likely, I think so, they asked me to focus on Indonesia because I'm about the only pastor in Kingdom City. We've got 200 over pastors. I'm the only one who can actually speak Bahasa Indonesia and like to eat rendang. Hallelujah. But I've been there so often. So often, we started in Solo, started in Surabaya, started in Kingdom City, Bali, in 2 places, Denpasar and Seminyak. And you see, for me to be able to still do what I do at my age and still be able to obey God's command and plant a brand new work and to see it grow, I believe with all my heart that when we are able to do this, it's not because of how awesome we are, even though you are awesome. It's not how anointed you are, even though I know, Andrew, you're anointed. Remember I said? Anointed or annoying? Annoyingly anointed. But the truth is this, you guys are so smart, so intelligent. But the reason why we can do what we do with all boldness is because Jesus gave us all authority. Not a little bit, not sometimes, but all authority. All authority. Interesting enough, the word authority has 2 meaning to it. One is called power or dunamis. Now the Greek word dunamis is used 120 times in the New Testament. Loosely, the word refers to strength, power, or ability. It is a root word of our English words dynamite, dynamo, and dynamic. In other words, it is a demonstration of power. And my dear friends, when it comes to going into all the world and using His all authority, we're not going there just to give a speech or we're just going to go there and make people feel good, even though we will give good speeches and we will make the world a better place. according to Michael Jackson. But the truth of the matter is this, we bring a demonstration of God's power. And what is the greatest power? The power of a changed life. Just recently, I had the privilege of being in Surabaya without mentioning too many details. But when the family got into the water, they were from another faith and they got baptized. And some of them were actually saying, "Pastor, this is the first time we are feeling joy and peace." Now, for me, having lived 60 over years of my life, experiencing joy and peace nearly all the days of my life. And there are people that don't know what is joy, my friend. They don't know what is peace. They don't know what it means to have their sins forgiven. They seem to think that misery should be part and parcel of their life. Yes, Jesus says in John 16:33, "In me you will have shalom, but in this world you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And when we have this all authority, wherever we go, it may not even have to be in any nations, even in our community, there's a demonstration of power to change people's life for the better. Someone say amen. Amen. Secondly, the word authority speaks about exousia. Now, exousia is a Greek word, most often translated as authority or power. It is especially used in terms of moral influence. Now, exousia can also be thought of in terms of jurisdiction or dominion over a certain realm, right, privilege, or ability. I believe that when Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and make disciples, we are transforming communities. We are bringing the good news to people in the world that seldom hear any good news in their life. In other words, we are taking dominion. We are taking over. Now, this taking over dominion doesn't mean that we end up colonizing people, intimidating people, and bullying people. Our faith has never been like that. Instead, our ability to go into all the world is to elevate people from their lowest position, from a broken situation, to elevate them to enjoy what you and I are enjoying today. Jesus came into our world. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwell among men. Why? So that we can experience what He experienced by Him coming down and sharing with us. Whenever we go into the world, we're actually going with a message that we want to make sure and ensure everyone's life receive an elevation. Our church ministry, we started quite a good ministry outreach in Phnom Penh, Cambodia in 2014. We were given a group of students, all young students, from ages 10 to 15, from one of the ministry called Transform Cambodia, run by some Australian missionaries. And they gave us one of the group because they wanted us to start an English church for them, plus Khmer, of course. Just to encourage you, to let you know, it has been 10 years, and I visited Cambodia and ministered there before. That group of 10 to 15 years old, that group of about 30, 40 people. When I first went there, I remembered in January 2016 to minister to them. I mean, they were all so young, and I was thinking to myself, why are we starting a Sunday school right in the heart of the city? How many of you know children grow up? Today, the church have about 2,500 people, both English speaking and Khmer speaking, and a whole bunch of that core group of about 7 to 12 of them, the 10, 15 year old, they are all in their early 20s now, and from them we have a worship pastor, we have a Sunday school pastor, kids pastor, we have a youth pastor. And the senior pastor, he is barely in his late 30s. I remember the first time when I went there, when I first met our lead pastor, all he was interested in the latest hairstyle. It was so funny, Pastor. Not a very spiritual man. When I first met him, right, the first thing he told me, Pastor Chris, I think you need a haircut. I said, what do you mean? No, I found a place, make cut hair very cheap. $1. $1. And he took me, I went there, and they gave me a funny haircut. That was the end of my haircut ministry. But for him, every month he will go. That was his only interest. He was still single then. Of course, that's what he wanted. He didn't want to get married because he met an accident many years ago, and he cannot be a father. That's what the doctors tell him. His reproductive system has been damaged. Finally, he found a beautiful girl in the church. He got married to her. Just to let you know, at this moment, they've got 3 children in Jesus' name. And nowadays, whenever I see him, guess what? With 3 children, you don't care too much about your hair anymore. Somebody say amen. But all of them have grown up, and the fact that we invested, but what we did was that we elevate them. And I love the fact, I remembered when I spoke a couple of years back, right, I spoke in English. And the thing is this, right, when I did the youth service, about 200 people, I did the youth service. When I crack a joke, they all started laughing. And I was cracking a joke in English. And then after that, the Khmer, nobody laughed. I don't know why. But the truth is this, right, they knew English. They could actually understand English. And that becomes something for them. Many of them are in universities today. Some of them are studying to be teachers. Some of them doctors. And it's amazing what we can do with the power of the gospel and with the commitment of our ministry to ensure that we are not just starting a ministry to feed the poor, which we are, educating people, which we are, but to demonstrate the power of transformation in Jesus' name. Can someone say amen? Amen. That is all authority, my friend. The next time you go for any mission trip, yes, your church sanction, your HOD sanction you, but you are going with the authority that Jesus has given to you and me. R.C. Sproul said this. He says, the very word authority has within it the word author. An author is someone who creates and possesses a particular work. Insofar as God is the foundation of all authority, He exercises that foundation because He is the author and He is the owner of His creation. He is the foundation upon which all other authority stands or falls. Someone say amen. That's why we can do what we do. Let me just move on. A few thoughts about authority in missions. Number one, we must exercise His authority, but with compassion. If you don't have compassion, be very careful not to have too much authority. I love the fact that Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, mighty Savior, that rabbi who turned the Jewish community upside down with His teachings, but He was a man that was full of compassion. My dear friends, if you have the authority and you exercise it with a compassion, I can assure you, you will be used by God mightily, and you will hear the Father saying to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when your days on earth is over. Out of the 6 siblings in my family, 3 have already passed on. My second elder brother and my 2 elder sisters passed on. My second brother was never a godly man. He himself will acknowledge. He's a man of the world. Even though he accepted Christ, he's a man of the world. Never really he thought that Christian faith is the answer for his world. I also remembered many times he actually thought that, this is not the guy who scolded me, the one his elder brother. He never really, let me use the right word, to honor his memory. He never really looked up to me in a way that he ought to. Maybe because he thought that I made a wrong choice by becoming a pastor. While he, in the 1980, about the same time I went Bible school, he got a job in Malaysian Airlines and became a flight steward, flight supervisor, traveling to nearly 60, 70 countries in the world. When I was earning 100 ringgit a month, he was earning 3,000 ringgit a month. We're talking about 1980. He never looked up to me highly, and I understood. I understand. Because he really felt that I've made the wrong choice. 3 years ago, during the pandemic, my brother got sick. For whatever reason, he couldn't recover. Checked a few doctors. Doctors couldn't find the right diagnosis. Finally, he forced the doctors to put him through an MRI and a CT scan to find out what was wrong. Then only discovered he got fourth stage lung cancer. That time my brother just retired at the age of 64 years old, 63 years old. Just retired. He had all the millions in his bank. And first of all, he couldn't enjoy much because it was pandemic. He couldn't go anywhere. So when that came about, he was in a shock. When he got news to us, we were all in a shock. Anyway, just make the long story short. For the very first time in our history, 60 over years as brothers, for the very first time, eternity became a topic of conversation. Before that, my brother will always be talking about when you're going to change your car, when you're going to go to buy a bigger house, what's going to happen, which restaurant, this, everything got to do with temporary things he'll talk about. When you're going to go for a holiday, this, that. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong to buy a bigger house. Nothing wrong to go for good holidays. Nothing wrong to buy nice clothes. Absolutely nothing wrong. If you think it's wrong, buy for me. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong. Go for your holidays. But remember eternity. But for the first time in my life, sat down and started talking about eternity with my brother. And here's a man who never thought about eternity. He thought to himself, easily got 20 more years to live. I got more than enough money to last me for 20, 30 years without working. And for the first time, we started talking about eternity. Of course, his heart was grief. There was bitterness. At that moment, when you talk about eternity, I refuse to talk about the obvious, that he's dying. But I talk about life after death. I spent so much time talking to him about heaven, what heaven will be like. Spoke eternity into his heart. That there is a place called heaven. Talk about life. I told him, I said, Ko, I want to celebrate not just your earthly life, but I want to celebrate your life after this life. I remember one of the funniest times when I was with him, my brother, he said he read an article. He said, my Chinese name is Boon. Is it Boon? Correct. Heaven, the streets made of gold. Why, huh? Pastor Chris, why? Huh? Correct or not? Heaven streets made of gold. Why? Huh? Then I asked him back, what do you think, oh? Why? And in his mind, he was saying, maybe because there are some people on earth that have never owned gold in their life. Is he talking about me? Never owned gold in their life. Maybe this is the time for them to go to heaven. At least nighttime, they can go and dig the gold on the road and then... Then he was laughing to himself. He said, I don't think so, it's true, but I think maybe. I told him, Ko, first of all, right? First of all, there's no night in heaven. So you cannot go in the night. If you want to go, you go afternoon, morning, because there's only the light of Christ, nothing else. Secondly, I say gold is worthless in heaven. It's only what? Fantastic on earth. Then he said, then why God put worthless thing in heaven? I said, no. I say it is of no worth to God in heaven, no word to us. On the other hand, for us, I told him, the streets of gold, and the Lord gave me a simple revelation. You know what's the streets of gold in heaven? To welcome you. To welcome me when we leave this world. I told him, do you know, whenever there's any big, big event, any occasion, and then there's a red carpet, and that's where the VVIP walks in on the red carpet. And I told him, Ko, when you leave this world, the streets of gold is for you to walk on the red carpet. Someone say amen. My brother started crying, man. I also cried with him. He said, wow, God's so good. I said, yes. So that when you walk, the red carpet is the streets of gold for every one of you. That is the gospel, that God loves you while you were formed in your mother's womb, and God will love you when you take your last breath on earth. Can someone say amen? Authority with compassion. Matthew 9:36-38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I pray that God will give Kus, every one of you, authority, but also compassion. Number two, secondly, about the authority in missions. Jesus gives us the same authority today. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has given us the authority that when we go to any places whereby it is of darkness, we don't have to go to these missions and scream against the darkness, but we bring the light of Christ and the demonstration of God's power, you will see people's life being changed and set free in Jesus' name. Catherine Kuhlman, that amazing, amazing anointed healing evangelist in the 1960s, it was said that she wrote her in a book, I Believe in Miracles, her autobiography, documented miracles that have happened in her ministry. It is said that there have been times whereby she will go into a city in America, run a crusade over 4 or 5 days, and everyone that is sick got healed, until the police got no work to do because people are healed. Doctors, nurses are being given off because nobody is in the hospital. Can someone say amen? That's how anointed she was. She was once being asked in the late 70s, towards the end of her life, what is the greatest miracle she has ever seen? Evangelist Catherine Kuhlman, what is the greatest miracle that she has ever seen? Raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, healing the cripple, the dumb begin to speak, the blind begin to see. They were expecting that. Catherine Kuhlman looked at the television into the camera and she said this, the greatest miracle is a life that is transformed and changed by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle is a life transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. Can someone say amen? Amen. Can I suggest to every one of you today? I've got to be careful, I'm not going to fall. You are sitting beside a miracle today. You don't believe in miracles? You don't? Look at your neighbor. Or look at the other neighbor that you like more. You don't believe in miracles? Chris Long. Chris Long. You don't believe in miracles? You are a miracle. When you go back home tonight, when you look at yourself in the mirror, stop saying, oh, I got wrinkles, I got white hair. No. Start looking and say, well, you are a miracle. You are a miracle. Someone say amen. C.S. Lewis said this, authority exercised with humility and obedience accepted with delight. Wow. Accepting obedience with delight are the very lines along which our spirits live. You want your spirit to be alive? Exercise authority, but with humility and obedience with delight. I used to tell some of the leadership class that we do, right? Learn how to say yes to God whenever the Lord asks you to do something. Don't fight the voice of God. For example, if it's a missions week and the Lord somehow put into your mind, give 1,000 and you are like, no, I don't want to give. No, I don't want to give. I cannot give. I cannot afford to give. I can assure you this, you are in trouble, because by the time you say yes, you have to give 2,000. Hallelujah. So in other words, if you today are saying, I'm not going to go missions. I will never want to go missions. Never want to go. You don't want to go. Watch out. You may end up having a full-time missionary calling. So it's better to say, Lord, I will go. Hallelujah. Then work back. But it is true sometimes. Not all the time, but it is true sometimes. Number three, we need to exercise this authority in faith. Our life begin in faith. We will end in faith. We start in faith. We sacrifice in faith. We serve in faith. We sow in faith. And we stay in faith. Somebody say, would you read together with me? One, two, go. Start in faith. Sacrifice in faith. Serve in faith. Sow in faith. Stay in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But if that is faith, the possibility of pleasing God and honoring Him is so high that you will be able to experience miracles and breakthroughs and healings in your life, answers to prayers like you could never imagine. But stay in faith, sacrifice in faith, serve in faith, sow in faith, and stay in faith. 43 years of following Jesus. Have there been times when I wanted to give up? Yes. Not the last 20 years though, the early days. It was difficult. When there wasn't too much of success, it was difficult. My early days, right, 1982, the last year of my Bible school, I was sent to a place called Kuala Selangor. Anybody know where it is? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, somebody at the back there, no. Two. Why? Amazing. Small fishing village. 5-6 school teachers. I was put there just to experience pastoral ministry. Anyway, it was not too bad. When I graduated, I thought, that's it. I'm never going back to small town ministry. But 1984, I was sent to a town called Banting. Anybody know where Banting is? Oh, the same hands, lah. Hallelujah. I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. I love you, my sister. Yeah. You all be the first in line to heaven. Hallelujah. Because you know where Banting is. I was asked to lead a Tamil church. A few obvious things. Number one, I can't speak Tamil. Number two, I'm not Indian. Not Indian, not North Indian. Huh? I'm not an Indian. No. I was asked to look after a Tamil church. You know why? It was a church of 20 people and they were fighting with one another for leadership. 20 people and they were fighting. So they removed the leaders and they put me there, because since I can't speak Tamil, I cannot fight with anyone. My senior pastor was very smart. I went there and I suddenly became their pastor. For whatever reason, I still remembered how the whole town of Banting, 1984, is an L-shaped town. If you come from Klang, right, L-shaped all the way, that's it. The town is just, that's it. Shops, 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 that's it. Then you go to the Morik Beach, nothing else. That was the town. Only got one traffic light, the whole town. Don't laugh, like you all. Only one traffic light. I used to drive my car and stop at the traffic light. For whatever reason, Pastor Chris, for whatever reason, hardly anybody drive car there. But I still remembered it was the longest traffic light that lasted for whatever reason. I'm not sure why. You're waiting for who to cross. I remember the first 3 months I was complaining left, right and center. I was just complaining. Totally disliked the whole experience. And you know this idea, God, I'm not called for this. I'm called for bigger things and greater things. You know all those things you talk about. Or not you talk about, I talk about, right? Until the Lord have to rebuke me and say, do you believe that I can use you in this tongue? I said, God, Tamil speaking people. I can speak a bit of Tamil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's not even Tamil, right? Yesu andava, hallelujah. I learned how to sing some Tamil songs though. I learned. Yesu yanai kai vida mata. Yesu yanai kai vida mata. Karapuyal varinam peram katrivisinam ava yanai kai vida mata. Thank you. Even if I simply sing, you also don't know what I'm talking, right? But that's really one. Jesus will never let go our hand. Though the storms may come, the winds may blow, He will never let go. I decided to put myself there, plant myself there. I got my interpreter who was actually an interrupter. And I asked him, teach me some Tamil songs. If I cannot speak in Tamil, I picked up close to 20 Tamil songs, which I still remember till today. I may release my first... Again, you're laughing before even I complete a story. I'll release my first book. I'll release my first Spotify playlist, all my Tamil songs. Make sure Kush, you all buy one copy each. But the truth is this, right? I decided to stay on. I used to laugh because I remember, right? I used to go pray. Remember prayer drive and prayer walk, right? So, you know, main street and the back street. I used to, after praying the main street, then I drive at the back street, right? Praying. Remember, I was the original backstreet boy. But the truth is this, right? I've come to realize it has to be in faith. Finally, I left after 24 years. 24 years. 24 years. We left a church of 400 people. Tamil church, Chinese church, Bahasa church, and an English church. With a property that is 1 acre on the main road. Someone say amen. It started as a Tamil church. I was the Tamil pastor. Yesu andava, hallelujah. Why I'm saying that? Because we have to stay in faith. We have to sow in faith, sacrifice a lot in faith. I think there's a reason also why I married my wife. She's half Indian. Not red Indian, I mean real. Number four. My time is up, but let me just conclude. Number four. The authority is for us to bring the reality of God to our world. Why we do what we do? Not because we have a better religion. Or a better presentation of faith. We have a better set of doctrines. The reason why we do what we do so that we can bring the reality of God to our world. The world still needs to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. The world still needs to hear about the goodness of God. Your world, my friend, wherever it is, could be your family, could be your place of work, could really be out there in the community, still need to hear about the reality of God in their life. Thomas Aquina, one of the early church fathers, he says, in order for a war to be just, three things are necessary. First, the authority of the sovereign. Secondly, a just cause. And thirdly, a rightful intention. So when we Christians talk about the war against sin, it is, please don't have that violent imagery. Jesus was never a violent man. Never. But when we talk about a war, it is also always authority. We can make things better. We can change situation around. 50 years ago, if someone would say, Chris, because of your faith, you stay in faith, you sacrifice in faith, you sow in faith, 50 years down the line, you actually can serve Holy Communion at your long family reunion. If somebody would have told me that 50 years ago, I would think that would be the most ridiculous thing that can ever happen. The time I was still struggling to convince my family that I made the right choice of following Jesus. But yet it is a just cause. It is a rightful intention. God is with me. No wonder I won the war, because Jesus won the war 2,000 years ago. Jesus said to the disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, Mark 16:15. The word go is mentioned 1,542 times in the Bible. Go. Go. The word stay is mentioned lakcap jipai ni 62 kali. I'm doing Mandarin. 62. Correct. 62 times. In other words, it is a go. It's a go faith. He came to the disciples and he said, this is your purpose. Go. Go. Go forward. Do something. Do something about your life. Live your life for someone else. Go. And I promise you, my dear friends, when you learn how to go, as you obey the Lord in simple obedience, His command becomes your priority, and you will enjoy a better quality of not just your Christian life, but life as a whole, when you realize that there is world out there just beside your own. Final thing, final quotation from John Stott as the worship team begin to prepare a song. His authority on earth allows us to dare to go to all the nations. His authority in heavens gives us our only hope of success. And His presence with us leaves us no other choice but to go. Will you go? Will you go? Because when you go, you will be blessed. When you bless others, you yourself will be blessed. When you minister to others, God will minister back to you. When you look after people that is in the world, God will look after the people that is in your world. Would you stand up, my friends, as we conclude today? As a response to the message, Lord, your last command, my first priority. Our incredible worship team will sing this beautiful song.
This is my desire.
Come on, church, all over the place, from the front to the back, young and old, lift up your voice to honor you, Lord.
Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Worship you, Lord.
All I have within me,
give Him praise.
I give you praise.
All that I adore, Lord. Able to lift up both your hands as we sing the chorus together, church.
Lord, I give you my heart.
We surrender in delight to you, Lord. We obey with delight, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Lord, I give you my heart,
I give you my soul, I live for you, Lord. Every breath that I take, all I'm waiting, have your way.
I believe there are at least three groups of people in our midst today. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for allowing me to speak the word of God to you. But there are three groups of people that God wants to minister to. The first group of people are those that have been on mission trip before, but it's been a long time since you last went on a mission trip. For whatever reason, you have actually believed that you don't need to do missions anymore. But today's message is a reminder that God is calling you back to give yourself for missions. Not just to give, not just to pray, but also to go. The second group of some of you that are here, you love missions, you are going for missions, but you have always been discouraged when you go for missions because you don't see too much of fruits. And the Lord is saying to you, stay in faith, sow in faith, sacrifice in faith. You will see fruitfulness and you will see the rewards. But don't give up. Just be faithful. And the third group of those of you that have not been in missions before, you have never gone on a missions trip, but there's a real love in your heart for different countries and different ministry. Today the Lord's going to awaken eternity in your hearts in Jesus' name. If you fall under any of the three groups that I talk about, today you say, Pastor Chris, pray for me. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I want to have a higher purpose. I want to live beyond just for myself, but I want to live for Jesus, and also I want to live for the world that still need to hear the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are in any of the three groups, right where you are standing, I want you to respond as you lift up both your hands right now in Jesus' name, as the team begin to sing the song again one more time. Come on, right where you are, lift up both your hands and say, Lord, use me again. Lord, use me again. That's right. Use me again, Lord. Use me again. Use me again. That's right. All of this place, if you are any of the three groups, lift up your hands. Yes, Lord. God will use you again. God will anoint you again, young lady. Young man, God will use you for His glory. Sir, you are never too old to be used by God. Ma'am, you are never too old to be used by God. You don't need qualification. He is the one who qualifies you. He will set you apart. Use me, Lord. For the final time, lift up your voice. Lord, I give you my heart. Friends, sing from your soul. Every breath. Give my life to you, Lord. Sing it one more time, one last time. Lord, I give you. Lord, have your way. Lord, have. Lord, have your way. Way in me. Lord, have your way in me. Sing it again. Lord, have your way in me. Lifted up, we surrender, Lord. Lord, have your way. We will say yes, Lord. We will say yes. Lord, that's our desire. Have your way in our life. Have your way. Let your will be done. Our prayer is still, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Lord, as long as the world, there are still darkness, as long as the world is still broken and fragmented and fractured, Lord, have your way in us, that we will take the gospel, the good news, and we will go into all the world with all authority, and we will make disciples of all nations. Thank you for using Kus in such an incredible way. Thank you for the beautiful, sincere, authentic, genuine responses of so many people this afternoon. We thank you that God, you will use us, anoint us, that Lord, that we will continue to do what you have called us to do. We will go into the world. Your last command will be our first priority. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise.